You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello, and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 23rd of February, 2018. You're listening to Radio Aryan, and this is me, Sven Longshanks. Of course, I'm joined today by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm still recovering from last night because, as I mentioned earlier, I always knew Babylon were coming. I heard it were coming, and last night I saw it.
Well, what happened last night? Let the listeners know what happened last night, Dennis.
Just by chance, I happened to have the TV on for Emmerdale. And I hadn't watched Emmerdale for years. Last time I remember, it was two old ladies in a paper shop. But consequently, I watched it, and it was just Babylon rising. I mean, the guys kissing on there, the women kissing on there, and this was followed then by a transgender program, which was more or less, it was set out to debate it, but it was actually a transgender propaganda program. But the thing about Emmerdale was the village isn't that big. To have so many gays, it can't be. So I'm still recovering because I thought, it's just not real. This.
We should have a Radio Aryan soap watch because it is just unbelievable the promotion of all this cultural Marxism in the soap operas.
Mentioned that once. He said people, to understand the culture, you've got to watch your soaps.
Yeah, well, they've got this nudge committee, haven't they? And there's something else as well. I think it's called the Knitting Circle. And that is all the producers of the soap operas that meet up in the Knitting Circle. And then the nudge committee tell them how they want to socially engineer the public. And then they put that into the soap operas, which is why you'll have transsexuals in all of them or gay kissing in all of them.
I often thought that there's not a program good enough to go 50 years like Coronation Street. It's got to be an agenda. You know what I mean?
Well, completely. If you take EastEnders, I monitor EastEnders, and at the moment they've got a Paki family in it that have adopted a white child. I mean, that's just rare as hen's teeth that coloured families will adopt white children, yeah. And the white child's being given to a homosexual couple that are married. I just, these things don't happen
it's
in
arrived.
Real life.
Babylon has arrived.
Yeah. Oh, and they've also got a Jewish dwarf in a wheelchair that was adopted by a Negro as well years ago. Just absolutely bizarre storylines that never, never, ever happen in real life.
Yeah. Well, they gave up on EastEnders a long time ago when it just rah, rah, rah every night. You know what I mean?
Well, this is why I like the alternative media so much because, we have real things on our podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
And on our videos. Things that matter. I think tonight's subject is things that matter as well. I mean, we often talk about the problem that we have with Jews and that it's a biological problem. It doesn't matter if they're atheist Jews, religious Jews, communist Jews. They will always act in a certain way. But because of that biology that they have, we can look at the religion that they have, Judaism, and that's the expression of their racial soul. And the Talmud itself, which is what the Jews follow, we're going to have a little look at that tonight and see what the religion of Judaism is and why we say that it's completely anti-Christian and totally opposed to Christianity. They don't follow the Old Testament. A lot of people think that the Jews follow the Old Testament and that they're the people of the Old Testament, but they're not. The Talmud itself, which is the main collection of books that they use, that was written between the 3rd and the 6th century AD. So that's after Christ, that's after the destruction of the temple, and that's after the birth of Christianity, that's after the Gospels were written and collected. So the 3rd or the 6th century, they codified what they called the oral law. And the Jewish rabbis claim that that was handed down to them from Moses. And of course it can't be because they're not descended from Moses. They're descended from these Edomians mixed up with the tribe of Judah from about 200 BC. But they claim that this oral law was handed down to them from Moses. And Jesus actually said he censored the oral law when he said, "By the traditions of your elders, you make void the word of God." And that's what he was talking about. That's what the traditions of the elders were. It was this oral law, this supposed extra teaching that was given to Moses that was secret and known only to the Pharisees. So when Jesus said the traditions of the elders, that's what he was referring to. And of course, now we have an English translation of the Talmud, but it's been watered down completely so as to conceal from the Gentiles most of the so-called satanic verses that are contained in the original Aramaic. And the satanic verses of the Talmud can be classified into three categories. One is Jewish supremacy. The second is hatred towards Gentiles. And the third is blasphemies against Jesus Christ, the Virgin Mary, and all Christians. And I think this is quite important to say, because I had somebody recently say to me, what makes you think that the Jews are against Christianity? Or what makes you think the Jews are against Christians? You know?
Yeah, I hear that many times.
Yeah, have you had that, Dennis, have you?
Well, I get all the time on YouTube, you know, saying that if it weren't for Christianity, we won't be in this position we are today.
Well, Judaism is entirely opposed to Christianity. It was created because they were rejected by Christianity. Christianity didn't want anything to do with the Jews. Christianity was on the side of the Romans that destroyed the temple. They got out of Jerusalem before that happened. And the Talmud is Judaism's holiest book, and its authority takes precedence over the Old Testament in Judaism. And evidence for that can be found in the Talmud itself. And there's a book called Erubin, and Erubin 21b says, "My son, be more careful in the observance of the words of the scribes than in the words of the Torah." And by Torah there, it means Old Testament, because they have two Torahs as well. This is a sneaky thing. The Jews will say, well, we follow the Torah. And they have the Torah Shebil Peh and the Shura, the Torah, something or other, Biktov. And one of them is the Oral Torah, which is the Talmud, and the other one is the written one. And they say that the written one, which is the Old Testament, that's only for old women and children. And they mock people that study that. So it's the Talmud that they follow. Do you want to add anything to that, Dennis, before I start going to some of these teachings from the Talmud?
Well, no, it's I think, was it Luther who discovered these writings to begin with?
Yeah, I think Luther was the one that really popularized them. Really popularized them.
Up to that point, I think they were pretty well hidden, I think.
Yeah, I think the Pope tried to ban it once. He wanted to ban the Talmud, and then they got they asked a rabbi, and a rabbi stood up for it and said, "Oh no, you don't want to ban this. This is a precursor to Christianity." And the Pope fell for that, I think, and it wasn't banned, but it wasn't really publicly available. And Luther, he thought the Jews were the people of the Old Testament at first, and, well, I think he may have done right to the end of his life, but he thought they were the people of the Old Testament, and they would help him with translations, and he also thought that he could convert them. And then near the end of his life, he realised what a mistake he had made, and he wrote On the Jews and Their Lies. And in that, it tells you just what is in the Talmud, just the way that the Jews think. And he gave up on all thoughts of ever converting them. You know, he said they should be drowned. That's the best baptism for a Jew. Tie a rock around his neck and throw him in the canal. And that was Luther's baptism. Yeah. words to that effect. I mean, it's a really good book. Have you seen that, Dennis, On the Jews and the
Lions? No, like I said, I've just heard excerpts of it, you know.
All right, it's excellent. So he realized it, but of course, that's a suppressed work. Lutherans today, most of them are completely unaware that he wrote that, and they think the Jews are absolutely wonderful. But yeah, he had a shock, and thankfully he woke up. But I mean, this is just a sample of some of the things that the Talmud says. It says where a Jew should do evil. Moed Katan 17:8. If a Jew is tempted to do evil, he should go to a city where he is not known and do the evil there. So there's no thou shalt not do evil, thou shalt not do this. It's go and do it among the Gentiles. That's fine.
It's almost laughable, isn't it, really?
Yeah. You just wouldn't believe that was wearing the mask of religion. I mean, that's like a crime manifesto, isn't it?
Yeah. I've never been able to master how they can wake up in the morning and think of so many devious plans, because it's just it's not normal.
Well, a lot of it comes from this. I mean, even if you get Jews that, as I say, Jews that are atheist or liberal, they all will have been brought up with the Talmud. They all would have heard something from it. They all would have had rabbis and had rabbis at their schools telling them what's in it. They all would have had a look at it. Mm. And I think this is where they get a lot of their ideas from.
Well, the rabbis control them, don't they? I think they're the kind of, you know, guide the flock, so to speak.
Ah, completely. The next quote we've got is a penalty for disobeying the rabbis. And this is from Erubin 21b. Whoever disobeys the rabbis deserves death and will be punished by being boiled in hot excrement in hell. I know that's the same punishment that they say Jesus is in, don't they? They say he's boiling in hot excrement in hell. They say hitting a Jew is the same as hitting God. Sanhedrin 58b, if a heathen, or that's a Gentile, hits a Jew, the Gentile must be killed. I mean, that's... that is supremacism, isn't it? It doesn't matter if the Gentile was correct and it was self-defense. If he touches a Jew, then the Gentile must be killed.
That's right.
And this is the way that they hide this as well. When people, what the rabbi will say is that says, oh, if a heathen hits a Jew, that means somebody that doesn't worship God. But the word heathen just means the same thing as Gentile.
I think another thing you've got to bear in mind as well when you're going through all this is the fact that they always play the victim, where really this is, you know, the real vision of them.
Oh, completely. Well, they're allowed to lie, aren't they? They're allowed to lie in court. That Kol Nidre oath that they give on I think it's part. Is it Passover or Yom Kippur?
Yeah, it's one of their festivals.
Yeah, and they swear an oath that all their oaths in the new year, they don't have to keep to them. Yeah,
yeah.
But people think that they're asking for forgiveness at this festival, but they're asking for forgiveness for future sins. They're saying, give me a free pass so that I can lie to the Gentiles all next year.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't believe it, would you? Unless you actually read it, you would think that's just it's just not normal. It's okay to cheat non-Jews, Sanhedrin 57a. It says a Jew need not pay a Gentile the wages owed him for work. And the word Gentile there is covered up by being called Kuthian in the Talmud. But Kuthian is just another one of these code words for Gentiles.
Well, that's what made me think about when the ships what fought the Armada weren't allowed back because they didn't want to, well, so they said, you know, the excuse for them to stay out there were to just in case the Armada came back. But some of the sailors thought that it was because they didn't want to pay them. And that sounds pretty, you know, feasible when you're listening to what he's saying.
Well, it's a total opposite of Christianity, which says, you know, the workman is worthy of his hire. You should pay your, you know, the people that work for you, you should pay them well. And the master should look after the servant and the servant should revere his master.
Yeah.
Not you should rip them off. But notice this isn't saying, you know, rip everybody off because that won't work. But what it's saying is rip the Gentiles off.
Well, it's funny because I can remember we're looking at some 9/11 stuff. And apparently on the day of 9/11, the Jews were sent a text to the phones. And apparently only three Jews in the middle of New York, remember, which is, you know, probably one of the most populated places of Jews on the planet, only three died.
Well, they knew what was going on there, didn't they?
Well, like I said, they were sent a text from this Jewish firm, can't remember the name there, but obviously they were warning their own, which is... true to what you're saying again.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is like a crime gang's manifesto. This is how we treat each other, and this is how we treat the people we're going to rip off.
Yeah, sounds like a banker.
Well, it's a cross, isn't it? A cross between a banker and a robber
and a gangster, which is like Bugsy. Didn't they build Las Vegas? I think it was Lansky. The Jew who was in charge of all the mafia. We talked about him last week.
Yeah, well, That's the scam, isn't it? They try and say, oh, the Italian mafia. And yet all the areas that the mafia originally came from were the areas that the Converso Jews were in.
That's right.
So these Jews pretended to be Christian, changed their names, and then set up this organized crime in those areas.
That's right. Well, there's an organization called Murder Incorporated, which was all Jews. They're all assassins.
Murder Incorporated. I've heard of them before. That's of course, they exported that over to America, and now they're in charge. Now they've got Hollywood in their hands. They make Hollywood's out that it's Italians. It's Italians and all the gangsters. There's a good book, a German book, The Jew as Criminal. And it shows that all the slang that they had, all the criminal slang for the words that were used for burglaries and robberies, they all had a Jewish origin.
No doubt.
Like, I forget what it was, like a Jemmy bar that was called a Moses or something, because Moses parted the Red Sea and that would part the padlock. You know, things like that.
All the
criminal slang.
Like I said, Las Vegas was obviously, I think it's at the time it was the only place you could go and gamble legally. It was Bugsy Malone. I can't remember what it was, but he was
Bugsy
Jewish.
Bugsy Malone. Was he Jewish, was he?
Yeah.
Wow. I bet a lot of these criminals are Jewish and we don't realise it. The Cray twins, they were Jewish.
Was it really? There was gay as well, both of them, by the way. I knew one was gay, but I found out the other one was gay as well.
One was, a Jewish mother. So, of course, that's why they're lionized by Hollywood. That's why they were lionized in the 60s in London, because they were Jews. So they control the government and the justice system. You know, the chief justice is always a Jew. And then at the other end of the scale, running all the criminal gangs and especially the drug dealing gangs. I mean, all the ecstasy used to come from Israel. And then they run all the crime at the other end of it. And because of that, they can provide all the intelligence.
I've even heard, I don't know if it's true or not, like, you know, I've no real research on it, but I've even heard they got the cure for cancer in Israel.
Huh. Probably. They'll be keeping that to themselves, won't they?
Yeah. That's the idea. That's what I've heard anyway. It's just, you know.
Well, that's another one of these, isn't it? They're not supposed to help us at all.
No. I've just noticed there's a lot more cancer type of things on the adverts these days, Macmillan thing and all this. And it's really strange because more people probably die of cancer now than ever, probably because of what they put in the food and processed stuff.
Because the Jewish doctors, aren't supposed to touch a Gentile. So they aren't supposed to help us at all.
Interesting.
Yeah. And this is their religion. This is the religion of these people that we're told, Judeo-Christian and Judaism and Christianity and Islam are all Abrahamic faiths. Well, Judaism has nothing in common with Christianity. No, neither does Islam. They're both completely opposed to it. Let's move on and have a look at another one. Jews.
I had to think like a Jew. Really, I really do. You know.
Yeah, well, it doesn't come natural to us because we're white people.
Hitler said this, like the Germans.
Yeah, it's an alien, it's a completely alien mind that could come up with what's in the Talmud. And besides all of this, the other parts of it is just, you know, it's badly written, crazy fantasies. Absolutely crazy. So it's the product of an unhinged mind. And it's basically all these rabbis that got together and just rambling away and, you know, like a debating society and recording it all down. It's got no...
Yeah. Came up with Emmerdale.
That was the end result. Jews have superior legal status. If an ox of an Israelite, and by Israelite it means Jew there, if an ox of an Israelite gores an ox of a Canaanite, there is no liability. But if an ox of a Canaanite gores an ox of an Israelite, the payment is to be in full. So today, what that means is if they do us any harm,
no stone unturned, is there?
No liability. But if they harm us, the payment is to be in full. We can see this with, you know, with anti-Semitism, can't we? You can criticize the Gentiles, you can criticize white people and there is no liability. But if you criticize the Jews, then there is that liability. You can get into trouble for that. That's anti-Semitism. You know, another thing that they do with this, Dennis, they say that because it might be quite hard for them to actually carry all this out, it only applies when the Jews have got complete control. So this would apply in Israel because they have that country, and in our countries where they've taken over, this is what they're trying to put in place, but they can't actually be right out up front with it because they don't fully control our countries. But if they did fully control our countries, these are the laws that would be in place, and we're halfway there already.
I don't think they're far away from controlling half the Western world, are they?
No, but we're still not treated as badly as the Palestinians. You see the way that the Palestinians are treated over there in Palestine.
That's
That's according to the Talmud, and that's how we would be treated. If they were able to take over our countries completely.
Yeah, well, that's what makes me annoyed at these people who are so-called goyim who side with them. Mostly Hollywood as well. You know, I mean, even people like, you know, they get paid something like Brad Pitt gets paid something like $30 million a film, and nobody on this earth is worth that for an acting part. But it's just for the other things they do to keep things going and keep this kind of garbage ready to take over us.
Hush money. See, I think one of the things that gets me is, you know, the civic nationalists that talk about Islam and they'll talk about the Quran and talk about how it's okay for Muslims to lie to non-Muslims, how they call us kafirs and dogs. But the Talmud is actually worse. But they seem to think that the Jews are fine and the Jews are our allies. So, this is another reason why I wanted to do this program today, Dennis, is so that, you know, we can show you that this is the way the Jews think of us. You know, they're no different to the Muslims.
They've got that much money to bribe these other people, what we should be of our ilk, really. And that's how they get away with it. And plus the blackmail side as well.
You know, I think that's a large part of it, isn't it? They say, well, we'll fund your party or we'll fund your organisation, but you know what you've got to steer clear of, don't you? You know,
that's right. And they accept it only because money talks.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's why we set everything up on a shoestring and we do it out of duty to our race rather than from wages being paid to us by Jews.
100% correct.
Jews may steal from non-Jews. If a Jew finds an object lost by a Gentile, it does not have to be returned. This is also affirmed in Baba Kamma 113b. Sanhedrin 76a says God will not spare a Jew who marries his daughter to an old man, or takes a wife for his infant son, or returns a lost article to a Kuthian. And where it says Christian there, it means Gentile. So returning lost property to a Gentile is the same as a Jew marrying his daughter to an old man or giving his wife to an infant son, or takes a wife for his infant son.
I'm going to think of all the people that owe me just to make sure the Jews are not.
Well, you think about this, you know, it's something that's lost by us, it does not have to be returned by the Jews. Think of how much stuff's been stolen by them.
Exactly. Yeah. And you've got to replace it again, so it costs you double.
Think of all the priceless historical artifacts that have disappeared over time. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's hundreds of them that have just disappeared, like the sword that Julius Caesar's sword that one of our kings got stuck in his shield, and apparently that was in London somewhere, that was in the palace there or in one of the castles, that disappeared. All these precious artifacts over the years have disappeared, and you do wonder,
if the Jews have it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Jews may rob and kill non-Jews. Sanhedrin 57a. When a Jew murders a Gentile, or Kuthian, there will be no death penalty. What a Jew steals from a Gentile, he may keep. This brings to mind the ritual murders, where
which was the original reason why they were banned in England, weren't it? 1270.
And you think of the Anti-Defamation League. There was the murder of Mary Fagan in America, and they set up the Anti-Defamation League to remove the death penalty from the guy that murdered her, from the Jew that murdered her. It was obvious that he had murdered her, but the Jews thought it was wrong. The Jews thought it was wrong for him to be hanged for it, and they set up a charity, and they all put money into it to try and get this Jew
killed.
Sorry?
Was he dragged out of jail eventually and hung?
Yes, he was lynched. Yeah, he was lynched, I think. Eventually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they broke into the jail and lynched him there.
They tried to lynch him. Right. But I mean, this is a typical thing of the Jews, is if a Jew is in trouble anywhere, they will all get together and try to get the Jew off, regardless of the fact of whether he's guilty or not. I mean, that was an obvious one where he was guilty, and yet they think it's wrong for a Jew to be given the death penalty. What a Jew steals from a Gentile, he may keep. Baba Kama 37b, the Gentiles are outside the protection of the law, and God has, quote, exposed their money to Israel, close quote. So, again, they are referring to themselves as Israel when they're not. The Christian church is Israel, and they do not have a claim to the ethnicity of Israel, as we've shown before. But what they're saying there is all the money that Gentiles have, God wants them to have it.
Yeah. Wait till I see God.
think how small-minded they are. I mean, this is all they think about, is money and what can we take
from Gentiles? Mammon, is it? They call it in the Bible?
Yeah, Mammon. The God of money. All our money is exposed to them. That's their wish. You can see this in their names, can't you? Goldberg, mountain of gold.
Yeah.
Silverberg, mountain of silver.
Goldstein, yeah.
Yeah, and you know why they have those names like that is because where they were owned by the king, and when they started taking records and everyone had to have a name, they were allowed to choose their own. And that's what they chose.
Once it changes.
Mountain of gold. Joseph Mountain of gold.
Wonderful.
Jews may lie to non-Jews. Baba Kama 113a. Jews may use lies, subterfuge, to circumvent a Gentile. Well, that's what we were saying earlier, that's actually been institutionalized in the Kol Nida prayer, that they can lie. In fact, that's not just lying, that's breaking of an oath. You know, in European society, everything is built on taking an oath and the fear of God. So
yeah, they've got a way out of that, like you say, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. You take an oath to God, so help me God, and you take your oath to serve the people, to serve in office, to serve in a trial. And if you break that oath, then, you know, God's going to punish you. And even when we didn't have Christians, we had oaths, right? You know, we would make treaties with Vikings and they would take oaths on their gods, or treaties with the Saxons before they became Christian. And they would take oaths on their gods, and that would be accepted as they won't break their word because they've taken an oath. And here we have this people, the Jews, that, oh no, it's fine to break your oaths. And it says they can do it in their religion. That's the shocking thing.
Makes you want to join.
You know, they're being good Jews by doing that. By lying. And breaking their oaths. Non-Jewish children are subhuman, it says. Yabamoth 98a. All Gentile children are animals. Abadazara 36b. Gentile girls are in a state of nida, which means filth. From birth. Abadazara.
Yeah, more than this, does it?
No, but I mean, this is the same mentality that the Muslims have, isn't it? White girls are just, they're filth. They're not slags. Worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not worth as much as Muslims. And here we have exactly the same thing in the Talmud. Gentile girls are in a state of filth from birth. Now, of course, this is why in the pornography they have all Jewish studs and they like to get all the good-looking shiksas and put them in the pornography so that they can degrade them and...
I once said that these Jews like to see Goyim men gay and white women race mixed. They just get off on it.
Oh, they wish to desecrate as much of what we have as possible. It's an absolute hatred that they have for us. And as I say, this is in their religion. You know, religions, all the other religions of the world are about, you know, or you're usually about...
compassion, things like that.
Yeah, love for your fellow man, trying to get closer to God. This is all about how to take over somebody else's nation, how to be a good parasite.
And not have a conscience doing it.
Yeah, don't worry about a conscience because this is what your God wants you to do.
Yeah, plus, you know, they are animals, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what they say. All Gentile children are animals. And another one from the same book, Abed Azara, 22a to 22b. Gentiles prefer sex with cows.
I'll never had that luxury.
Look at that, mate. I prefer sheep. I mean, what sort of a mind comes out with that?
Well, this is what I'm saying. I just can't. To wake up in the morning and think of something like that, it's you know, I honestly can't get my head around that.
Yeah, it's not like they're sort of clever insults. They're just.
this competition for the worst one, isn't it, really? Gets in the book.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. The term, I forget how many books it is. It's a whole bookshelf full of these ramblings by these rabbis. That they have to all keep together, and they've got the Mishnah and the Gemara. They've got one set of these ramblings by the rabbis, and then they've got another set of ramblings of how to interpret the previous ramblings, and they're still adding to it now.
Yeah, and I believe it's quite an epic writing, the Talmud. It's kind of I don't think you can get it all in one book, can you? I think it's a whole.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a whole bookshelf full. Of books.
Yeah. I don't think anyone could read it in a lifetime.
It's still being added to. Michael Hoffman's brilliant. Michael Hoffman is really good.
Yeah, he's a book in Judaism, strange.
Yeah, I mean, he's a scholar of the Talmud, a Gentile scholar of the Talmud. And Gentiles that actually read the Talmud, that's death sentence, by the way, as well.
Really?
Yeah. We're not supposed to read
it back.
Yeah, and surprisingly enough, Jews are supposed to hide the Talmud from us as well. I wonder why.
Well, I think that's what they were doing up to Luther. I think that's what I heard. I think.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I mean, because that's what he says. If people only knew what was in their books.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Yeah, again, this is different to other religions. Other religions. Are quite open and, you know, want people to understand the good news of what they have. But the Jewish one is, oh no, you've got to hide that from the Gentiles. And I think the actual verse, it says that because if they knew what was in it, they'd kill us.
Yeah, I think Bush once said that as well, didn't he? If they knew what we got up to, they'd sing us from the lamppost, nearest lamppost.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. There's one verse that says, you know, Gentiles mustn't read this because if they did, they'd want to kill us.
Yeah, I'm saying that about Bush, by the way, in the context of him signing the Noahide laws.
Yeah, which I think we'll go into a little bit next week as well. Yeah. You're saying. Unless you want to talk a little bit about it now, Dennis?
No, it's quite important, really. I'll have to do a little bit more research.
Okay. Let's get back to quotes from the Talmud. Now we've got some insults against Blessed Mary. Sanhedrin 106a says Jesus' mother was a whore. It says, she who was the descendant of princes and governors played the harlot with carpenters. Also in footnote 2 to Shabbath 104b of the Soncino edition, it is stated that in the uncensored text of the Talmud, it is written that Jesus' mother, Miriam the hairdresser, had sex with many men. I mean, that's a that's a quite a common accusation, I think, in the Talmud.
I've heard the Roman soldier one, I think.
Yeah, that's in there as well, that his father was Jesus Pandera or Pantera, the Roman soldier. You know what's a real shame about this, Dennis? You know, I mean, before I came across nationalism, I used to read all this stuff about Jesus being married to Mary Magdalene and Jesus' family and the Desbazini and the Gnostic Gospels and all of this. And every one of those books, the references for that, they reference the Talmud and the Jews, and they say, oh, well, the Jews say this about Jesus, so that must be true because they were the ones from the Old Testament that wrote the Old Testament. And that was their logic.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the things that, you know, really woke me up, actually, was that to Christianity being the truth, our version of it, because, you know, all the alternative versions of it are actually being promoted by Jews.
Well, what really woke me up was the fact that they kept denying that they killed Christ. And, you know, obviously, in Pontius Pilate, given the choice, do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? And they wanted... They shouted for Barabbas and said, let the blood of his death be on our children. Now, you can get more straightforward than that.
Well, they've tried to cover that up, haven't they? They've tried to blame Rome for that now.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible is quite clear that it was them. The Talmud makes it clear that it was them. And yet, since Vatican II, they try to say it was the Romans that did it. I had a nationalist tell me the other day, oh, it was the Romans that kill Christ.
Yeah, always does me in that one.
Yeah, it's the Jews. That's you know, that was the crime of the century, was killing God, and it was the Jews that did that.
Well, if you look at it, if they'd have chose Jesus instead of Barabbas, he would never have been crucified. There lies the focal point.
And they were encouraging that, weren't they?
Exactly. It was the decision. You know, do you want to kill him or not? Yeah, we'll kill him.
And they were also the ones that had him dragged before Pilate and took him to the meeting of the Sanhedrin, which was illegal. You can't have the court at night, and yet they were so desperate to have him killed that they set that up.
He signed his death warrant when he tipped over all the moneylenders' tables in the church. I think that was the signing of his death warrant.
Yeah, when he got the whip together and drove the bankers out of the temple, the users.
The only time it was ever annoyed,
And that's Hitler's favourite Bible passage, isn't it?
Really?
Well, I heard him mention that. You know, he said when he thinks of Jesus, doesn't think of Jesus making mild, he thinks of Jesus running the bankers and the money changers out of the temple. And of course, that was why they had to kill him for that and his anti-Semitism.
Yeah, sounds about right.
He identified them as devils, murderers, the master of lies, the wicked one, all these names, synagogue of Satan. Yeah. He knew exactly what they were. They gloat over Christ dying young, a passage from Sanhedrin 106, gloats over the early age at which Jesus died. Hast thou heard how old Balaam was? And Balaam is another code word for Jesus. Hast thou heard how old Balaam was? He replied, it is not actually stated, but since it is written, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, it follows that he was 33 or 34 years old. Yeah, what mentality thinks this up?
Exactly.
You know, and you know, it's not always like that either. I mean, it's the good that die young. That's what we say. Only the good die young. The Jews say the opposite.
Yeah, well, like I said, the way of thinking is difficult to get one's head around.
Let's have a look and see what... the Chabad Lubavitch have to say. On the website of the Orthodox Jewish Hasidic Lubavitch group, one of the largest in the world, we find the following statement, complete with Talmudic citations. It says, the Talmud, the Babylonian edition, records other sins of Jesus the Nazarene. 1. He and his disciples practiced sorcery and black magic, led Jews astray into idolatry and were sponsored by foreign Gentile powers for the purpose of subverting Jewish worship, Sanhedrin 43a. Number two, he was sexually immoral, worshipped statues of stone, a brick is mentioned, was cut off from the Jewish people for his wickedness, and refused to repent. That's from Sanhedrin 107b and Sutta 47a. And finally, number three, he learned witchcraft in Egypt, and to perform miracles, used procedures that involved cutting his flesh, which is also explicitly banned in the Bible. And that's from Shabbos 104b. And you see, this is the origin of these books that you hear of Jesus the magician, Jesus the who was following the Egyptian religion, or these Gnostic stories about Jesus, and these books, Freemason-type books. It's all based on this stuff from the Talmud.
Yeah, well, that does surprise me.
Hey, what's the name of that? Dan Brown, with his Da Vinci
Code. Yeah, you mean the movie?
Yeah, yeah. And the origins of the ideas that he has about Jesus in that you know, they come from the Talmud and yeah. The Gnostics. And
yeah, the bloodline of Jesus, right?
Yeah. It's not an alternative. It's, you know, it's what the Jews have been saying for years. It's what the Jews have been, you know, why they were accused of blasphemers. And now it's being put about as, oh, this is the alternate, this is a real story of Jesus. Whereas before, you know, it was just always, oh, this is the Jews blaspheming Jesus. This is the Jews' lies.
They were
always going to
say it, weren't they?
No. And yeah. There's more.
Tom Hanks were always going to star in it.
Yeah. Well, let's have a further look at some of these anti-Christian Talmud passages. Gideon 57a says, Jesus is in hell, being boiled in hot excrement. I mean, that's pretty sick mind thinking that up. Sanhedrin 43a says Jesus, that's Yeshu, and in the Soncino footnote number 6, it says that Yeshu means the Nazarene. So don't forget, nowadays they will say, oh, this isn't actually talking about Jesus Christ. But the older Talmuds in the footnotes make it clear that, yes, it was talking about Jesus Christ. And this one says Jesus was executed because he practiced sorcery. It is taught that on the eve of Passover, Jesus was hung, and 40 days before this, the proclamation was made, Jesus is to be stoned to death because he has practiced sorcery and has lured the people into idolatry. He was an enticer, and of such thou shalt not pity or condone. And I would just say, this is like the way we see the Jews today slandering people in the media, isn't it?
Well, they slander Jesus as well. I mean, there's clips on YouTube. Like a monkey being nailed to a cross, and, you know, primetime Israeli TV and things like that. They've got this hatred for him. And what's that comedian called? Them?
Sarah Silverman.
It's Silly Cow, yeah.
Sarah Silly Cow, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking, you know, when something happens to a nationalist, the way it will be repeated in the media will be a pack of lies about how the nationalist was the bad guy. And this is similar to this, isn't it? Jesus was crucified, and yet the way that they report it in the Talmud is, oh, it was all said to the people 40 days before a proclamation was made. He practiced sorcery, and he was stoned to death because of that. He wasn't accused of sorcery. It's like the Jews telling these lies today in their stories that they tell about good people.
Well, these people like Silverman come out and say it as it is. Absolutely. You know, they don't hide the fact that they'd kill him again if he turned them.
Oh, no, they're quite clear about it. They're quite clear about it. We've got a story here next. They've got a story, Kala 51a. The elders were once sitting in the gate when two young lads passed by. One covered his head and the other uncovered his head. Of him who uncovered his head, Rabbi Eliezer remarked that he is a bastard. Rabbi Joshua remarked that he is the son of a nida, a child conceived during a woman's menstrual period. Rabbi Akiba said that he is both a bastard and a son of a nida. They said, "What induced you to contradict the opinion of your colleagues?" He replied, "I will prove it concerning him." He went to the lad's mother and found her sitting in the market selling beans. He said to her, "My daughter, if you will answer the question I will put to you, I will bring you to the world to come, eternal life." She said to him, "Swear it to me." Rabbi Akiba, taking the oath with his lips, but annulling it in his heart, said to her, "What is the status of your son?" She replied, "When I entered the bridal chamber, I was nida, menstruating, and my husband kept away from me. But my best man had intercourse with me, and this son was born to me. Consequently, the child was both a bastard and the son of a nida." It was declared, "Blessed be the God of Israel who revealed his secret to Rabbi Akiba." So I think we can see what's going on there.
Yeah.
In addition to the theme that God rewards clever liars, that Talmud discussion is actually about Jesus Christ, the bastard boy who uncovered his head and was conceived in the filth of menstruation. And the boy's adulterous mother in this story is the mother of Christ, Blessed Mary, who they call Miriam, and sometimes Miriam the hairdresser in the Talmud. I guess hairdresser must have been not a very well-respected occupation, I guess, the way they use it. According to the Talmud, Jesus was executed by a proper rabbinical court for idolatry, inciting other Jews to idolatry and contempt of rabbinical authority. And all classic Jewish sources which mention his execution are quite happy to take responsibility for it. And in the Talmudic account, the Romans are not even mentioned.
You know,
they're so proud of what they've done. And I just find it interesting that they say, a rabbinical court and a rabbinical authority, because they didn't actually have rabbis like they have today. I mean, the word rabbi just meant master. It meant teacher. It wasn't an official title that anybody actually had. That came about after Judaism took form as a religion. See, again, this is a confusing, because in the Bible, Jesus is referred to as rabbi by some people. But they're not saying he's like a Jewish rabbi from the Jewish religion. All that means is master. It's like if we were to be calling somebody a teacher.
Yeah, I thought the rabbis came about in Babylon, to be honest, but that could be me. I don't know.
Well, the rabbinical works, I mean, the Talmud, that's where the Talmud comes from, but it was all oral. It wasn't actually written down until a lot later. But the actual word rabbi just means master. Because you've got the laws of Hammurabi from 2000 BC. I mean, he was I forget the exact date BC, but he was the famous white king that wrote all these laws down, and his actual name is Hammurabi. So obviously means something or other master. So yeah. You've got to watch these words, because the Jews will change them.
You don't have to switch things.
Yeah, well, look at the way they changed the word Gentile. People think the word Gentile means non-Jews. It never meant that at the time when the Bible was written. It just meant nation. Gentile meant nation. It was the Latin version of the word goy. And the word goy meant nation in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Israelites are called goy. The goy of Israel meant the nations of Israel. God talks about there being two goyim in the womb, and it's talking about Jacob, Israel, and Esau, Edom. And right the way throughout the Old Testament, they use the word goy just to mean nations. And in the New Testament, which was originally written in Greek, the word was ethnos, and the Latin version of that they was gentilis. So it just meant nations. So you couldn't actually have an individual Gentile, not one person, because a nation is a group of people. So the word Gentile meant a people group. And the Jews changed it to meaning non-Jew, which changes the meaning of a lot of verses in the New Testament. Yeah. It doesn't actually mean that. I mean, fancy going to the devil.
It's all changed for their favour, isn't it?
Yeah, but fancy going to the devil for help with translating the Bible. That's what they did.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
That's what they did. Well, we see the results. Well, we've got some more attacks here on Christians and Christian books. Rosh Hashanah 17a, Christians, or Minim, that's another code word for the Christians, Minim, and others who reject the Talmud will go to hell and be punished there for all generations. Well, how can we not read the Talmud? We're not allowed to read it, but at the same time, we're also not allowed to reject it either. So we've got like a...
Yeah, well, that's double standard.
Conflicts, isn't it?
Exactly what they're about, isn't it?
Give you a neurosis. Sanhedrin 98. Those who read the New Testament, and they call that uncanonical books, will have no portion in the world to come. Shabbat 1168. Jews must destroy the books of the Christians, i.e. the New Testament. And I would say one of the ways they destroyed the New Testament was by promoting the printing of them. They paid for the printing of Bibles in the Reformation, Bibles with spurious translations. So they don't necessarily destroy the books of the Christians by burning them. A much more insidious way to destroy the books of the Christians is to affect the translations in them and make out that the Jews are the Jews are the holy people, the Jews are the good guys. That's a much worse way of destroying our books. And look at the I forget the name of that Bible that came out that was promoting the Jews, Dennis, the translation. It had lots about Israel in it. Came out in 19-something or other in America.
I forget which one you mean, but I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I knew you'd know which one I mean. I can't remember the name of it either. We're getting old, Dennis. That's what it is. Memories are going.
Yeah, all that process for
Dr. Israel Shihak of Hebrew University reports that the Israelis burned hundreds of New Testament Bibles in occupied Palestine in March 23rd, 1980. So there we have an example of them setting fire to them. Sick and insane teachings from the Talmud. Yebamoth 63a states that Adam has sexual intercourse with all the animals in the Garden of Eden. And I think that just shows you the respect that the Jews have for the Old Testament. They say that Adam had sexual intercourse with all the animals in the Garden of Eden. And that there are others. They also say that Noah was a transsexual. Noah cut his own genitals off. And they say that he was a drunk. They say that the prophet Isaiah, they sawed him in half for being rude about Israel. And they say that on the ark, Ham had sex with a dog. And all these are fairly important people in the Old Testament, and they just slander them.
Well, there's nothing more than going on in Germany at the moment.
Well, exactly, isn't it? I mean, that's where it comes from. That's where these ideas come from. It's projection. Yeah. It's projection. They project it on, and this, I get, you know, this is why they project this onto these people from the Old Testament and say they do all these things. You know, because it's the sort of things they want to promote.
Well, when you finish this piece, they've got a bit of a shock with this rabbi, which I've dug up when he come out with.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that now, Dennis? Have we got time?
I can do. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you've rammed all these rabbis off on what they believe. Well, this rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, he was one of the main rabbis in Israel. They all bowed down to him. He died when he was 108, and apparently, for confirmed by his son, by the way, who's I think 83, that he had visions of the Messiah for 12 months previous to him dying. And even his students looked on him as a bit of a prophet. And he said that he's going to write it down in a note. And when he does finally pass away, he wants people to wait 12 months before it was read, which is exactly what happened. He died. There were 200,000, by the way, at his funeral. This is how big the guy was back there in Israel. And the name of the Messiah was sealed, you know, as a note, as requested, and opened it 1 year later. They opened up the note, and the name of the Messiah, who we believe to be the Messiah, was Jesus. Now, the press never hardly give it a mention. His website did, you know what I mean? Like, but they kept it, you know, they kept it pretty low key. Well, that must have been a shock to the system. And they've been trying to make excuses up ever since of the mistake he must have made.
That's a good one, that. That's a good one. That's just to let the doubters know that You know, the good guy's still in charge.
Exactly.
Well, I've got some more here. I mean, this is a good one, I think. Because this goes right to the root of what the white man is. Yebemoth 63A declares that agriculture is the lowest of occupations. Agriculture is... it's only our ability to farm that enabled us to build our civilizations.
Yeah, even Hitler put the farmers above everybody, didn't he?
Yeah, so it's the most important. Agrarian, Aryan. You know, we had to domesticate the animals first, and we had to breed the crops so that we got high yields, and then we could stay in one place, and then we could build roads, and we could have the farms outside and the city in the middle, and we could move the crops from the farms into the cities. And that meant, instead of traveling about the place robbing people like gypsies or Arabs or proto-Jews, or grazing on the ground and eating whatever we came across, digging around for lizards and worms like the Negroes, it meant we could stay in one place, grow our food and build things and innovate and come up with civilization. And it all came about from our skills with agriculture. It's the start of everything. The white man is a farmer. And here,
which
the
is
Jews...
Well, they hate it, isn't it?
Yeah, the Jews absolutely hate it. They say agriculture is the lowest of all occupations. Well, we've got the worst. We saved the worst till last here as well. We've got the really perverted ones that most of our people know about them already. Maybe there are some listeners that haven't. Sanhedrin 55b, a Jew may marry a three-year-old girl, specifically 3 years and a day old. And that's not talking about a fancy marriage ceremony. That's saying a Jew can consummate the act of marriage with a three-year-old girl. It means a Jew can rape a three-year-old without any penalty. Sanhedrin 54b, a Jew may have sex with a child as long as the child is less than 9 years old. Less than nine.
Can I just butt in here? Like, when I was watching Emmerdale last night, obviously, you know, I'm thinking Babylon's arrived. And it did cross my mind that the next time, they take a further step into this debauchery will be on a soap, a man getting in bed with a young child. And I guarantee that, not know when it's going to come, though.
Well, they've already been promoting something like that on EastEnders. They had a 40-year-old woman that was sleeping with a 16-year-old boy. They've got... Yeah, and they blame the boy for that.
I know that there's a Facebook page, and it's quite obvious what it is, and it mentions things like how the closest of a father and a son could be if they could only get together more often, you know, what they're insinuating, and Facebook won't take the page now.
Well, this is what they want to promote.
My documentary, but they won't take that now.
Well, you've shown some of this in your documentaries already. I know, Dennis, about the Jews and pedophilia. Kehoboth 11b, when a grown-up man has intercourse with a little girl, it is nothing. They're just saying pedophilia is fine.
Yeah.
Yebemoth 59b, a woman who has intercourse with a beast is eligible to marry a Jewish priest. A woman who has sex with a demon is also eligible to marry a Jewish priest.
I believe that goes on in Hollywood. I do believe they have the know-how to get these demons and have sex with these actresses. I'm pretty convinced.
I'm sure they do. They do things like that. And I guess the reason for this, Haggai 27a states that no rabbi can ever go to hell. So of course they can have sex with beasts and have sex with demons. They've even got rabbis in there that boast that they've slept with every whore in the world. In the Talmud.
Yeah.
Rabbi Metzia 59b, a rabbi debates God and defeats him. God admits that the rabbi won the debate.
Yeah. Nice one.
So they say they are above God, basically. And the final one, Menahoth 43b, 44a, a Jewish man is obligated to say the following prayer every day. Thank you, God, for not making me a Gentile, a woman, or a slave. And that... You know, that really shows you...
Oh, those, please, feminists.
Yeah, well, that really shows you what little respect they have for us. I mean, I thank God every day that I am a white man. I don't thank God that he didn't make me this or didn't make me that. I thank God that he did make me who I am. You know, thank you for making me a white man. I think we should all think that and thank God for that and thank our ancestors for choosing wisely with their partners and pray that we choose wisely with our partners and that our children do the same and continue to keep our race alive on the earth. Dennis, we've reached the end of the podcast.
It's a bit like that video that we were looking at earlier today where it was turned, well, they entered it in the competition, didn't they, for the EU, Hungary, and they said there's too many white people in it,
Hungary have just been turned down for an EU competition for having too many happy white people in it. It just shows you, doesn't it? They don't want happy white people. They don't want white people at all. Well, they're not going to get very far with us around, Dennis. I know that. Thanks for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next Friday with more Truthful Out Radio for you. And we hope you all have a great weekend ahead of you.
Tuned into Radio Aryan.